breaking news. Fridays are awesome. That is all. Okay, that's fake breaking news. There are other events to report this October 1st, and that begins with major problems in the global supply of the things we buy. We've told you how there are labor shortages, truck driver shortages, not enough workers to move things around at a time when demand is through the roof. Now, those who are working to move goods globally are sounding the alarm that if their conditions don't improve, supply chains could collapse. Near the Port of Los Angeles, the largest seaport in the United States, there are cargo ships floating off the coast with hundreds of thousands of shipping containers waiting to be unloaded. The backup's gotten so bad that no one knows how long it'll take to get that done. It's not just a shortage of workers that's the problem, it's bureaucracy. Different local, national, and international government rules for who can work where. Seafarers, truck drivers, and airline workers have seen delays, sometimes lasting for months, before they can make pickups and deliveries. It's all been complicated by the COVID pandemic. An international shipping official says because different countries have different vaccine requirements, one seafarer he knows has been inoculated 6 times getting 3 different vaccines, while some others haven't been vaccinated at all. So there's confusion over that, and there's confusion over testing. Those rules differ from place to place. Earlier this year, truck drivers were stuck at Germany's borders when the country required them to have a COVID test that takes days to get results from. More recently, one ship's officer says her crew had to have 10 COVID tests in 7 days before they could get repairs at a shipyard in Singapore. She says because of different COVID rules, some sailors have been stuck at sea for more than a year. And because of port shutdowns and constantly changing travel restrictions, a shipping company leader says seafarers may be hesitant to commit to new jobs because they can't know for sure if they'll be home by Christmas. So what's the solution to all this? Well, some transport officials say COVID-related travel rules need to be relaxed or they need to be suspended for transportation workers so they can easily move goods. 10-second trivia. Which of these U.S. government agencies was created the most recently? FDA, Fed, FCC, or SEC? The Federal Communications Commission was established the most recently, and today it's looking at ways to curb robocalls.
In 2018, more than 47.8 billion robocalls were made in the U.S.
And it's only getting worse.
So how do these calls actually work? To make the call, a phone isn't actually being used. A computer is. Robocalls are made using what's called Voice over Internet Protocol, or VoIP for short. It's the same technology used in popular apps like FaceTime and Skype, and it's important because no international phone bill means robocalls are incredibly cheap and easy to make. And while the computer generates a random number to call, it's also generating a false number to show up on your caller ID, disguising its identity, a process called spoofing. And with neighbor spoofing, the number on your caller ID is meant to look almost identical to yours to increase the likelihood that you pick up. But if you called that number back, your local pizza shop might answer instead, because these computers are often spoofing with real phone numbers. Now, according to the FCC, your best bet is to not answer calls from unknown numbers in the first place, since answering a robocall lets the computer know you might engage. In that case, get ready for even more robocalls now that you're on the hot list. You'll also be prompted to connect with an actual person who will either try to sell you a product, or worse yet, trick you into a scam.
To inform you that IRS is filing lawsuit against you.
Now in the United States, the majority of these calls are illegal under the Telephone Consumer Protection Act. But because robocalls can originate from anywhere in the world, it's extremely difficult to enforce the law, though heavy fines have been slapped on robocallers in the past. In the meantime, phone companies are working on systems that more effectively identify and block illegal robocalls. But for now, robocallers will likely keep on calling you.
Instagram announced this week it was pausing its effort to develop a version of the service for kids under age 13. Instagram says its product gives users a voice and helps them stay connected with friends and family. But critics say the app would hurt children's well-being and that those concerns should come before profits. Social media questions also extend to older teens.
I do think there is like a certain dependency. I've noticed this behavior in myself.
Do you ever find yourself doom scrolling, I think it's called?
Yes, just going forever and not doing anything, not any schoolwork you need to do, yeah.
High school seniors Hannah and Noah have no time to waste. They're just weeks into their final year of high school, juggling schoolwork, clubs, and college applications, and social media.
I think a lot of it is just a fear of missing out or not being as involved with your friends.
Hannah is student union president, a job she says she couldn't do without Instagram. She runs the union account. And yet, last winter, she did delete TikTok.
I would just constantly be sucked into these videos that were really appealing but didn't particularly help make me happier as a person. I think overall it has been a net positive. I think I've stopped worrying about the way my body looks a lot.
These teenagers are aware of the mental health risks of social media. And as the Wall Street Journal recently reported, so is Facebook. The paper said Facebook's own research in 2019 showed 1 in 3 teenage girls with body image issues felt Instagram made those issues worse. News that didn't come as a shock to teachers here.
So we were noticing that ill effects of oversaturation with regards to social media, students reporting sleeplessness, all kinds of other kind of social-emotional learning challenges.
School Dean Ian Mozan says the pandemic brought things to a head. Last year, he began running regular classes, teaching students to take charge of their online presence.
They can really have an open discourse about what's good, what's bad, and then how do they protect themselves?
For Hannah and Noah, 18 months of virtual school did prompt a reckoning.
It made you more in control of yourself because you had to be, or else you'd get completely lost in it. I think I limit my social media to a lot of healthy stuff, actually. You follow people that inspire you, your friends.
You guys were born in the same year as Facebook was. Do you ever worry about the long-term implications of never having known a world without social media, of how it might have shaped you?
No, I don't, because the way you guys described before, social media doesn't sound like a fun place at all. You get to see more people and learn more cultures much quicker than you would.
I do worry sometimes about what it means for not only things like my attention span or something that I think we're facing generationally, but on a more personal level, I do worry that I've become preoccupied with maybe the way I'm being perceived by other people online. And I know that's not a healthy thing to worry about a lot.
Claire Sebastian, CNN, in Queens, New York.
What do you get when you take 13,000 live orchids and suspend them from the ceiling? A whole mess of upside-down orchids. And they're pulled higher and lower on wires to make it seem like they're moving around you. This was put together by a company that aims to immerse people in art and technology. The title of this exhibit is Floating Flower Garden. Flowers and I are of the same root. The garden and I are one. It's now on display in Tokyo. It'd be a fun date unless people are allergic. That's not a bloomin' good time. They might find it a pollen. They might ask, are you or kidding me? And wonder why you'd choose to pick a destination from which their dis-sneeze stems. Don't be surprised if they get the itch to follow their nose by running. Hey, we're happy to be running with the students of Essex High School today. It is in Essex Junction, Vermont. Thank you for watching. I'm Coral Azus for CNN.